Philippians chapter 3 is there where we are in the Word of God once again. Philippians chapter number 3. I want us to get a thought this morning that God has just been stirring in me. Just stirring in me. How many like when God gets stirring in you? Amen. Stirring in you. Paul said in verse number 10, that I may know him. Say that with me. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Here's what I want us to get this morning. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, some thick language, but it's good. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Thank you for the Bible. Oh, God, thank you for the Bible. Now, God, we have it. But it's not enough just to have it. We need it to have us. So, God, use me today. Cleanse me, empty me, fill me. Do a great work. If somebody in the building doesn't know Jesus, might that person come to a saving knowledge of the truth today? Might that person experience what this grace thing is all about? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for saying. Jesus changes everything, doesn't he? I said, Jesus changes everything, doesn't he? Paul understood that. And so from this dark prison cell, he's writing to the church at Philippi. A church he had started. God had led him to Philippi. Led him to that region when he had plans to go otherwise. Isn't it amazing that God's plans are different than our plans? His plans are always right. Acts chapter 16, he's going other places and God won't let him. He ends up parked somewhere else and he sees a Macedonian vision. And this man says, come over and help us. And he obeys. And Luke tells us we endeavored to go. And God plants a church there. He ends up in prison. Say, why am I in prison? Maybe God wants the jailer to get saved. Sometimes God takes you through a trial because somebody in that trial needs to know about him. So our jailer and all his house gets saved and becomes a part of the church at Philippi. Now he's writing back. And we've entitled this, How to Keep from Getting Stuck in the Christian Life. Because we find so many Christians that just get in a rut. They're not going anywhere. One step forward, two steps backwards. Just can't seem to keep progress going. Can't seem to keep the trajectory moving up. How to keep moving on up for the Lord. How to keep from getting stagnant in your Christian life. How to keep things from getting stale and lifeless and lethargic. I know you're saying, Pastor, but the world around me is getting worse. And people around me aren't loving. And the situation in politics and what's happening by way of legislation. And what's happening by way of sin. And the devil's attacks and temptation and trials and tribulations all around us. It's hard to keep moving up for the Lord. That's why it takes God. Amen. This is not a natural thing. This is a supernatural thing. And we look at Paul. What I love about Paul is he kept on the upward trajectory. He just kept moving up. Never seemed to go backwards. That doesn't mean he was perfect. Nobody's perfect outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he kept progressing. He kept moving. I don't know about you. Don't you want to keep moving for God? Don't you want to keep going? Don't you? I like to be around people that are going somewhere. I said I like to be around people that are going somewhere. So I love the Apostle Paul. He was always going somewhere. Now, how do you keep from getting stuck? First of all, spiritual discernment. We talked about that. His relationship with Christ opened his eyes to things that really mattered in the Christian life. He evaluated his priorities, his eager pursuits that happened in the Christian life. Why? All because of Christ. And then sensible disownment. I have to relinquish my pride because of my righteous position. Once I got saved, once I started to know Christ, once things happened in my life, I quit trusting in myself. Have you gotten in enough trouble trusting in yourself to learn you can't trust yourself? I was a youth pastor for years, and I used to say to teenagers, it's not that we don't trust you, it's just that we don't trust you. You understand? And we don't trust you because we don't trust ourselves. Amen? In my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. Well, I've been pretty moral, and I consider myself to be a pretty good person. Listen to me. You got saved, but your flesh didn't get saved. Your flesh just as lost as it's always been. And so then we talked about supreme desire, that I may know him. Nothing matters to me more in life, Paul said, than to get to know him through an intimate experience because of the impactful event, the resurrection of Christ. It's real. It produces results. It reproduces things in my life. I want resurrection power in my life. By the way, if it was strong enough to get Jesus out of the grave, it's strong enough to keep you out of sin. If it was strong enough to take a beaten, bruised, belittled, and battered man and bring him back fully, amen, then it's enough to keep you doing right and keep you serving God and keep you saying no to the devil and no to the flesh and yes to the Holy Spirit of God. Do you believe in resurrection power? Do you believe in resurrection power? Paul said, the more I know him, the more I get that power. The interactive exchange, the fellowship of his sufferings. Hey, I can't get the power of his resurrection and deny the fellowship of his sufferings. Listen, listen, you can't get happy in Jesus about him getting out the grave and pass on them trials. Come on now. Well, I don't know why we're going through this, so you can get to know him. The more you know him, you don't know him and get exempt from trials. You know him and learn how to react during trials. I don't know about you. The more you know Jesus, the more you learn how to act when things don't go your way. How many of us have learned the last year that things don't go your way all the time? I mean, we knew it before the last year, but we really know it now. Come on now, trials, before they enhance you, will expose you. We're going to find out who you are. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And he said, I need the fellowship of his sufferings, the intense expression. Yes, he said, if I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the identified encounter. I want to know Jesus so much that it even takes me to physical death so I can experience a bodily resurrection. It will be special for me to get so close to Christ that I die on earth like he did and can be raised up like he was. That's a real desire to get to know him. Nobody is longing to die. All right. And we're not longing to die. But I'm going to tell you something. I sure am longing to see Jesus. See him face to face and to bow down and worship him and see those that have gone on and to be able to spend that eternity with him. Listen to me. I'm enjoying what God gives us as a foretaste down here on earth. But the day when there's no more night and no more sorrow, no more pain and no more difficulty, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. Amen. Paul said, I want to know him. Last week, a sanctified dissatisfaction, not as though I'd already attained either were already perfect. I'm not where I need to be. I got work to do, he says. I got work to do. An honest admission, a humble acknowledgement, a healthy approach. Listen to me. Too many Christians think they're fine. Too many think they've arrived. Well, I've been saved for a long time. What does that mean? Well, I'm not where they are. Well, I'm a whole lot better than him. Well, just when I get down on myself, I start looking at other people and I think, well, I'm doing a whole lot better than most. Let me tell you something. You need to get some Paul and you say, I'm not attained. I'm not where I need to be. There's more I need to do. And that healthy approach, it keeps me driving. It keeps me motivated. Why do Christians get stuck in their Christian life? They've lost their motivation. You remember when you first got saved? You were so excited, you thought you could run down with a squirt gun and put the fire of hell out. It wasn't real, but you thought it was. Let me tell you something. You thought, man, I could do it. I want everybody to know about Jesus. I want everybody to have what I have. You remember when you first got it? Could I ask you something? Has your salvation devalued? Has it depreciated? Isn't it just as good as it was when you got it? He said, I want that drive to keep going in me. I've not attained. I'm not perfect. I'm not where I need to be. I need a sanctified dissatisfaction. I told you, you won't get better till you're tired of how you are. Sick and tired of us. Be sick and tired of being lifeless. Be sick and tired of being carnal. Be sick and tired of failure. Be sick and tired of not rejoicing in the Lord. Be sick and tired of not reading your Bible. Be sick and tired of not praying like you should. And drive yourself. If I'm happy with me, I'm never going to change. If I'm fine with me, I'm never going to get better. If I'm content where I am, I'm never going to push. God, help us to push and drive. Not because we're down on ourselves, but we're honest with ourselves. When I look at Him and I get to know Him and I get around Him and I walk with Him and I talk with you. Find me somebody in the Bible who got close to Jesus and was fine with himself. Isaiah said, I'm unworthy. Joshua fell down. Are you listening to me? Job said, I abhor myself. John fell down as a dead man. Let me tell you something. That guy said, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house and heal my. I'm telling you, when you get around Jesus, you begin to say, I'm not impressed with me. That's why I never want to fall in love with introductions and presentations, because people can say a lot about you. But when you get around him, you realize there's so much more work to be done. This morning, a specialized devotion. A specialized devotion. He said, not as though, verse 12, I had already attained. Evil are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm going after it. Come on now. It's not enough just to say, well, little old me, I'm not a good Christian. I keep messing up all the time and I just see how bad off I am. And, oh, me, oh, my Christianity. I'm just so embarrassed at how little I do for God. And I have to admit to y'all, I keep messing up all the time and I have to pray and confess my sin every single time. Listen to me. It's good to admit, but what you going to do about it? You're going to start every year and keep saying, I'm just not a good Christian. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. I just wish I could be better. Let me tell you something. You got resurrection power in you. God lives inside of you. It is God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. Do you think you have to fall as a believer? You don't have to fall. He can keep you from falling. If God could save you, you mean to tell me he can't sanctify you? He can keep you from falling. He said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the thought doesn't stop there. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast. Come on, unmovable. And what's the next part? Always abounding. That means don't get stuck. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul says, I've got a specialized devotion. Let me give you a couple of things and then I demonstrate it. There was a supernatural arrest that happened in Paul's life. I want you to look at the word apprehend. Do you see that in verse number 12? He says, I am apprehended. In other words, it really is past tense. I've been apprehended. How was I apprehended? By a distinct power. What power apprehended me? Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto what? Salvation to who? Everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, let me tell you something. There's nothing like gospel power. Let me say that again. There's not like gospel power. There's not a person that gospel power can't save. Listen to me. There's nobody so bad off that the gospel can't save. There's nobody so far off that the gospel can't find. There's nobody so low down that the gospel can't reach. There's nobody so dirty that the gospel can't clean them up. There's nobody so messed up that the gospel can't fix them up. There's nobody so broken that the gospel can't put them back together again. There's nobody wounded that the gospel cannot heal. There's no problem that the gospel cannot solve. There's no burden that the gospel cannot lift. There's no sickness, spiritual sickness that the gospel cannot heal. Paul says there was a supernatural arrest, a distinct power. He said, apprehended, but notice the divine person. He said, apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's saying this arrest not only came through a power, but it happened by a person. Here's what he's saying. I got saved because I was arrested by the Lord Jesus Christ, not by Peter, not by James, not by the Sanhedrin, not by the Pharisees. He says, I was literally arrested by the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that the church didn't save you? Your parents didn't save you. The baptism didn't save you. Good works didn't save you. Aren't you glad that the government didn't save you? Aren't you glad that the one who loved you and gave himself for you and hung and bled and suffered for your sins? Aren't you glad that Jesus saved your soul? This is a personal salvation. He says, I was arrested by the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a supernatural arrest. He said, and as a result, there is a sustained aggression. There was a supernatural arrest and a sustained aggression. He says, now that I've been arrested of Christ Jesus or by Christ Jesus, he says, I follow after. Verse number 12. I'm not where I should be, but I follow after. What do you mean, Paul? There's an individual pursuit. He didn't say we follow after. He didn't just say the church follows after. He says, I follow after. You're going to be a good Christian. You got to be one for yourself. Let me say that again. If you're going to be a good Christian, you got to be one for yourself. I follow after. What are you doing for God? Don't tell me about what the church is doing for God. Don't tell me about the state of Christianity, what it's doing for God. Don't just tell me about what your generation is doing for God. I've got to get up every day and say, what am I doing for God? What am I doing for God? Well, why am I doing something for God? Because of what he's done for me. Why am I following after? Because he chased me down. Now watch this, what he's saying. He chased me down. Now I got something to chase down. Come on now. He chased me down. Now I have something to chase down. An individual pursuit. Now watch this now. An intended purpose. I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, the apprehended of Christ Jesus was the arrest, right? And then he says, I'm trying to arrest what I was arrested for. Anybody listen to me preach this morning? I'm trying to apprehend that for which I was apprehended for. Do you believe God saved you for something? Do you believe God saved you to go somewhere? Do you believe God saved you to accomplish a purpose in your life? Why do Christians get stuck? They don't have any purpose. Why do Christians quit moving up? They don't have any purpose. Hey, let me tell you something. He did more than just snatch you out of hell. He did more than just keep you from living with the devil for the rest of your life. He saved you to be somebody. He saved you to go somewhere. Have you lost appreciation for your salvation? You've been saved for more than 20 years. Would you raise your hand? My hands up. You've been saved for more than 30 years. Would you raise your hand? Saved for more than 40 years. Would you raise your hand? See how people get their hands up. Saved for more than 50 years. Anybody in here? Wow, these two ladies here, Brother Jim Jones, saved for Sister Dawkins, saved for more than 50 years. All right. Anybody? 60 years. Anybody? Saved for more than 60 years. Am I missing anybody? All right. How many of you have been saved for fewer than 5 years? Would you raise your hand? Fewer than 5 years you've been saved. A couple of these kids, Isabel, bless your heart. Kimmy, fewer than 5 years. Anyone been saved in the last 5 years? God bless you. Some of these children, Antonio, last 5 years. Some of these children with their hands up in the last 5 years. Over here, God bless you. Brooklyn, amen. God bless you, young lady. Now listen to me. Anybody that just got saved yesterday, all the way to those who've been saved for 60 years, don't you think you ought to never get over your salvation? Dad's going to celebrate 45 years of being saved in a couple of days. Hey, let me tell you something. You want to find a good way to get stuck in your Christian life? Forget what God did for you. Forget where he brought you from. Now, we're good for talking about people who forget where they came from when it's up to money and their job and they act like they never knew how poor they were. Have you forgotten how poor you were when God saved you? Have you forgotten how lost you were when God saved you? Have you forgotten how bad off you were when God saved you? Hey, listen, I want to tell you that Paul is saying, I remember before I got saved. You remember before you got saved? It's almost like Paul saying, I was headed in the wrong direction. Do you remember being headed in the wrong direction? I mean, going, you say, what direction was I going? I was headed for hell. I say, you were headed for hell. Now, I got saved when I was 4, but I was headed for hell. If I'd have died then, I'd have died and gone to hell. Not because I was a child, but because I could understand salvation. Headed for hell. Some of you didn't get saved till later in life. You were headed for hell. You were lost. And by the way, you weren't a sinner because you sinned. You sinned because you were a sinner. But out of nowhere, Jesus came and hunted me down. Now, come on now. I said, Jesus came and hunted me down and laid his hands on me. And he arrested me. He arrested me with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the gospel handcuffed me. You say you were a 4 year old. Yeah, but the gospel handcuffed me. See, I was hanging over hell and I didn't know it. I was going to be with the devil and I didn't know it. I was lost and I didn't know. You say you were 4 years old, but I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell. And you know what the Lord did? He stopped me from going that direction. I said, he stopped me from going that direction. Some of you were messing around in drugs. Some of you were moving around in immorality. Some of you were in church, but you were lost. Wherever you were headed to a devil's hell. But it didn't just stop me from going in the wrong direction. Watch it now. He turned my life around. He turned my life around. Now, he turned my life around. And then he set me free. He set me free. He took them handcuffs off of me. He set me free. And then he got out in front of me. He got out in front of me. And now he's given me a purpose. He's given me a reason for living. So I got saved at 4. And then at 9, he called me to preach. That was a step in the right direction. He's calling me to him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And as a 16-year-old boy, I knelt down at that altar. And he said, I want you to reach your generation. Now watch this. Now I'm free. I can go on off that direction. Listen, if I go off that direction, that's not where he wants me to go. I'm still saved, but I'm not living with purpose. Now I can go off over there, troubleshoot computers, try to pursue something. I can't talk for you because he's got a purpose for everybody. But I know my purpose was to preach. He put preach in me. And when he called me to preach, then he said, you got to get the right wife. Because that's purpose. And when I was 16, he gave me purpose about my generation. And he put me in this community and helped me reach some young men. And gave me a heart for fatherless young men. It was for purpose. And every single day, I want to move closer to Jesus. He's calling me to him. I was arrested. Watch this now. He handcuffed me and set me free. Now I'm asking me, what am I handcuffing? I got to lay my hands on something. Oh, every single day I read my Bible. Watch this now. The closer I move to him, the more I look like him. The more I'm around him, the more I act like him. The more I'm around him, the more I talk like him. The more I'm around him, the more I think like him. Sometimes people say, you crazy. No. I'm not crazy. I'm trying to be Christ-like. He's calling me to him. He's calling me to him. Help me to be a better daddy. Help me to be a better husband. Well, you're pastoring now. Yeah. But I'm still trying to lay my hands on something. And every once in a while, trials come into your life. Watch this now. But trials don't mean that purpose stops. So you walk in the hospital with COVID and you almost die. And then you can't get your body together and you don't feel right. And you walk slow and you have to change the way you live. But God says, I still got a purpose. You lay on the hospital bed, but he's still calling me to himself. He's still wooing me to himself. And he's saying, go through trials, but become more like me. And I'm moving closer and closer to Jesus. Listen to me. On July 18, 2021, I'm not bragging, but I feel right now closer to Jesus right now than I've ever been in my life. Because he's calling me to him. Calling me to him. Now, every once in a while, we in our little saved self think after a while we know what we're doing. So we go off chasing rabbits and we go looking over here. And, well, I think I'll take this job. It doesn't fit your purpose, but it fits my paycheck. And I think I date this girl. Well, she ain't going that direction, but she's cute. Help me preach now. And I think I'll make this decision. Well, it doesn't seem that wise, but I tell you, it sure seems fun right now. And I take my eyes off of Jesus. Then I wonder why I get stuck. Don't get saved again. You don't need to get saved again. If you ever been saved, you still saved. It don't have nothing to do with you. It got everything to do with him. You just live without purpose. So some of you right now are out in no man's land. You lost GPS signal. Your phone don't have no signal. Your battery is dead. Everybody told you to come out there and left you and strung you out dry. You can't find no friends anymore. You can't find no joy anymore. You don't know where you are. Turn back to that direction you were looking at before. And guess who you see? Jesus calling you to himself. Start moving that direction again. If that I may apprehend. If we ever started gripping purpose like Jesus gripped us. Come on now. Start laying your hands on it. God, I want that purpose in my life. I want a beast. If that I may apprehend, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. What are you saying? You'll never have more joy in your life than when you wake up in the morning and live with purpose. You're doing what God wanted you to do. It doesn't mean you're not physically tired. It doesn't mean you don't go through trials. It doesn't mean the devil don't get on your nerves. It doesn't mean you wish you got out of that flesh. It doesn't mean that the world's getting more like Jesus. It just means there's a joy to get out the bed and somehow make it back to the same bed and know between those two visits, I laid my hand on purpose. I did what I was supposed to do. I went where I was supposed to go. I said what I was supposed to say. I was who I was supposed to be. And one day, that same Jesus that we're looking towards, he's going to don those clouds and we're going to see him and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank you. Thank you. Give the officer a hand, the arresting officer a hand. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Have you ever been arrested? Spiritually. Brother Zev's talking about physically. Criminally. Did you forget what it was like for him to come looking for you? Paul wasn't looking for Jesus. Paul was looking for Christians to arrest him. Jesus came looking for you. With the gospel, he arrested you. But for a purpose. Pastor, I've lost purpose. How about a young person? What do you want to do next year? Where do you want to go in 5 years? Well, I've sat down and I've mapped it all out. Did you ask God to map it out? Why, Paul, if you're free, are you pursuing him even though he doesn't make you? In gratitude to him for pursuing me. If you forget what he did to save you, then you're going to lose the gratitude that you need to serve him after he saves you. Go back to the spot when you got arrested. And may that arrest produce an aggression that sounds like this. If I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Father, we love you. And we thank you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.